Well, praise God.
We serve a mighty God. One that moves mountains. One that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One that we get to greet every morning. And the one that greets us every morning. And he goes, "Welcome, son and daughter, to a new day. Let's go have fun." How awesome is that? That God desires to walk with us and be with us, even in the midst of the good times, in the midst of bad times. Because it says it rains on the just and the unjust. That means because of sin in the world, we all get to go through some good times and we all get to go through some bad times. It's just life. And sometimes we look at things, we'll say, this isn't fair, but guess what? God isn't fair because he didn't give me a voice like my wife. It's a good thing because now I sound like a girl. But at the same time, he's not fair because he gives different gifts to different people. And that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. Well, I don't want a fair God. I want a God who rewards those who work diligently and also gives us different gifts, because it'd be kind of boring if we were all like Cletus.
I'd be okay.
For maybe 30 minutes. But if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 25. I think we're going to try to get up here on the screen. Oh, here we go. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at that. We'll have it up there. We'll make it bigger for next week. But I want to give you an update on a couple things. One thing is our automobile situation. Many of you knew that we had tranny issues. And we met a guy a couple weeks ago. He goes, "Oh, look, let me flush the transmission and see if that works." I'm like, okay, well, that's... And he was giving us a break on the deal, because usually it costs $400 to $500 to get it done. He charged us $175 for picking it up and doing it. So we did that, and then all of a sudden, it didn't. It started doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, great. So I... on my 30 for freedom jog, run, walk, waddle, what do you want to call it, reached out to him. He goes, "Well, I thought it was fixed." So I go, "No problem." And then at the same time, our brakes started going out on the SUV. And they weren't just squeaking. We were grinding to a halt. And so with Jaron being a mechanic, he was able to fix it on Tuesday. But in the meantime, I drove the SUV. I'm like, well, it's probably safe enough since I'm not going that fast to drive through the city. And the brakes are already shot, so the rotors are already shot, so there's not a big deal. There's not much else I can make it go wrong. And so some of you probably heard me coming by down the road. Aurora goes, "That thing's crazy." Because you know how it's usually let off the brake and you start moving a little bit. Oh no, you stuck. You weren't moving anywhere. That's how bad the brakes were. So Jerry was able to fix them, and in the meantime, our check engine light went off. And so I'm like, okay, let me drive it a little bit through town, and I did. No issues with the transmission. And I'm like, okay, let me drive it to Castle to work. No issues. And so I had to get a pair of black tennis shoes for Hy-Vee, because they didn't really like my white, bright ones that I use for my marathon. They went, "You have to be black." And then they go, "You can't have green ones either." I'm like, how did they know I had slip-on green ones? And so I wore dress shoes for... And so I told my wife and kids, I go, "I'm going to drive the SUV on Saturday," which I did, "over to Rochester and back, see if there's any problems." Usually about 45 miles per hour, you start feeling the torque tension and things like that. I hit 45 miles per hour just kind of cruising. Check engine light never came back out. And so I don't know what God's doing, but thank you for praying for the SUV. That hopefully now we don't have to get it rebuilt since we flushed it. And so now there's a few other things that we got to take care of on it. And so as someone told us, get it fixed. And the car will run great for a long time. And we're like, well, okay, $200 there, and then $400 or $500 get it flushed, and we got it done. And now we're driving around, and it's kind of good. And we even drove her to Rochester 2 weeks ago to 30th Freedom, and it was kind of driving over there was mostly good until it got hot. But now it's running great. Imagine that. I heard God fixes even cars. But if he doesn't fix it, he always provides. It's amazing how he provides and how good God is. And so I just want to give you an update on that. And I enjoyed my first week of stocking shelves at Hy-Vee. Mary got scared because I was stalking her the other day, but she ran away quickly, so it was all good. And so it's great to be out in the community, just see what God does. And so if you're there, say there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25, and we're going to get started. Now, regarding your question about young women, I think we can use this as young men as well, but remember the little background on the Corinthian church. It was a new church. They had a lot of people coming into the church, a lot of females who used to be prostitutes at the temple, at the shrine, that were single, that were coming to know Jesus, and they didn't know anything about the past. And so there's a lot of things, and so that's the reason why they're addressing it to young ladies rather than just young men, because even though they had male prostitutes too, but this way they're talking about ladies in the church, and especially these young ladies. And so they had a question about young ladies who were not married yet. It goes, I do not have a command from the Lord for them, but the Lord in his mercy has given me wisdom that can be trusted. Not all wisdom can be trusted, but if it comes from God, you can trust it. And I will share it with you. Verse 26. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek the end of marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I'm trying to spare you from those problems. Those who've been married for more than a day would probably contest that there's probably been troubles or problems or issues in your marriage at least once that you had to work through. Verse 29. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short. So from now on, those who are with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world, as we know, it will soon pass away. Verse 32. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking about how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided in the same way. A woman who's no longer married or has never been married can devote to the Lord the holy in the body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Verse 36. But the man thinks he is treating his fiancée improperly and will inevitably give in to his passion. Let him marry her as he wishes. It is not a sin. But if he decided firmly not to marry and there is no urgency, he can control his passion. He does well not to marry. So the person who marries his fiancée does well, and the person who does not marry does even better. Verse 39. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she is freely to marry anyone she wishes, but only if she loves the Lord. Oh, but only if he loves the Lord. But in my opinion, it would be better for her to stay single. I think I'm giving you counsel from God's Spirit when I say this. So Paul's addressing a question that came up in the local church, and he goes, this is not a command by God. First of all, he's not commanding if you're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. He's not saying that if you've never been married, all these things. He's saying, I believe this is the direction you should go. This is wisdom from God. It's not a command. Remember that. A command is different than a suggestion. I can command my kids to do something. Or I can say, hey, I suggest you guys to do this. There's a difference. A command, they have to do it. A suggestion, they don't have to do it. It's just maybe some wisdom. So the thing about it, sometimes people come to me and ask me for my opinion. Sometimes they don't like my opinion, because I want my opinion to line up to God's word. And it's not a command, it's my opinion. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't like your opinion. Well, you can do with it what my opinion, do with it wherever you want. It's up to you. And that's what Paul is saying here. This is my opinion, but I believe it's from God. But I can't command you to do these things. But I want to address the question that you asked me. Anybody ask you a question before? And all they want is the answer that they want to hear? Rather than biblical counsel or biblical truth. I've had a lot of people, hey, can you tell me your opinion? Well, to be honest with you, my opinion doesn't matter. My opinion about politics doesn't matter. My opinion about sexual immorality doesn't matter. My opinion about finances doesn't matter. What does matter is what God's word says. And if my opinion differs from God's word, I'm the one that has the issue, not God's word. God's word will never come back void. God's word will never change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because God's word is Jesus. He has never changed. He's the same at the beginning of the foundation of the world to the end of the days. And so the thing about it, if you come to me asking about my opinion on politics, is it doesn't really matter what my opinion is. What matters is what God's word says. And that's what we need to hang on to. Because if it differs, if my opinion differs than God's word, I am out of bounds. If there's a law that differs than God's word, the law is illegal. If they pass, see this, the last 2 weeks, there was a law passed in Connecticut, or Massachusetts, I don't remember which one, and they cheered for this law to be put in place by the governor, where they could take an innocent life that was not been born yet, up to full term, and as it's on its way out of the canal into the world. And there's a bunch of people cheering for that law. That law is illegal according to God's word, because it says you should not shed blood of the innocent. That child has never done anything to anybody, and you're shedding innocent blood. Are you wondering why the state of Minnesota has such a history of wickedness? And why there's so much corruption? Because according to God's word, it says that when we shed innocent blood, wickedness abounds. And the state of Minnesota, our abortion rates have gone up since Roe versus Wade has been overturned. We have more abortions in Minnesota now than we did before it was overturned. And our abortions are up to partial birth abortions in this state. And that's tragedy because they're shedding innocent blood because it's a person from conception, because that's what the Word of God says. It's not my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter on that subject. And it's not a political system. It's a moral issue. They took a moral issue and made it political. And we as believers need to say, you know something? That's a moral issue in the Bible, not a political issue that should be voted on. Because it doesn't matter what their opinions are. What matters is what God's Word says. And so Paul is saying, this is why I believe the wisdom God's given me. If you're young and you don't feel like getting married, enjoy life and serve God. That's what he's telling to these young folks. And so guess what? When you're young and you're not tied down to anybody, go serve God as much as you can. Because that's they can go please them. Because once you get married, now you have a responsibility to the one you married. And then if you bring kids into the situation, you get pregnant and have several kids, and now you have other responsibilities. And guess what? I'm figuring out your responsibility doesn't end when they move out or after they graduate from high school. I figured out there's still responsibilities that you have with them. And then all of a sudden, they get married, and all of a sudden, now many of you have grandbabies. And some of you have great-grandbabies. And you're like, hey, I want to bless them. And Paul's saying, you know, if you do not need to get married, don't get married. Stay single. Because there's things when I was younger and single, I could do that I won't do now because I'm married. Because I have different responsibilities now. And then when the kids came along, I have different responsibilities. But now since they're older, responsibility can rearrange again. And so, not just young ladies, but young men, when you're young and you're not tied down to anybody, go and do what God's called you to do with everything God has given you. And if you're older and single, guess what? You can be young and single and do what God's told you to do. See, if you're not married, you're more apt to be able to be flexible in what God's called you to do. Because there's things that have been asked of me, and I go, you know something? I can't do that because I already got X, Y, Z on my calendar because of their commitments that I can't break because of family activities. Doesn't mean they're bad activities. It's just because of all the other things going on. And sometimes I'm like, well, I can't do it that weekend, but let me look at it this next weekend. And so many times, Paul is saying also, if you're young and you can sustain from sexual morality, that's what he's saying, sex inside marriage is good, healthy, and fun, but sex outside of that, it will be harmful. And sex is not just the intimacy part, but it's also leading up to that where you open your heart to one another. That we got to be careful to guard our hearts from those who don't know Jesus. And falling in love with people who don't know Jesus. And what I mean by falling in love is by embracing them in a more than just a friend way. And so Paul's saying, he even talks about that. If you're engaged, but yet you're getting passionate, just throw in the towel, get married, and go have fun. That's what he's saying. And I know people who were younger, who got married younger, and they were dating. They're like, you know something? I'd rather get married now. We're through life issues. So we won't be tempted any longer to sleep with each other. And that's not a bad thing according to Paul's wisdom. See, nowadays they just say, you know, slip around, figure out what type you like, and all like that. Why? It causes all the heartache and headache in the long term. Paul's saying that's not healthy. He's basically saying, if you're young, you enjoy each other's company, and you want to be like married folks, doesn't matter. Just enjoy it. Go get married. Have kids. Have abundance of kids. See, in the art today age, they go, well, wait until you're about 28, 29, then get married, because then you're grown up, you know what type you like, and all these things, and then wait 10 years or 5 years, and then maybe have kids, because your career is a lot more important than family. They always say career is more important than family. Guess what? That's not true. If you're married, your career is not as important as family. One reason why I took a quick trip to Illinois back to check on my mom after she had surgery. I'm like, you know, I just got to break away. And things like that. But the thing about it, family, when you have a family, and the thing that's interesting, your first and most important thing in life is your relationship with Christ. That's the first, not ministry, not helping others, not doing this or that. Your most important relationship is with God the Father and Jesus. That's the most important thing in your life. Nothing else really matters. Then, the thing about it, it's the family. And then it's ministry or job. Because it's the way God designed it. And then they always say, joy, Jesus other than you. Well, actually, if you take care of Jesus and you take care of your family, everything else takes place. God will give you the rest. God, if you follow, if you have a relationship where you can sit at Jesus' feet and soak in his presence, that's the greatest thing you can do. And Paul is saying here, if you're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. So many people look away to get out of marriage. They go, the marriage issue, divorce issue, is the same in the world as it is in the church. Which is no surprise. But the thing about it is that people outside the church aren't getting married. And I don't blame them. I mean, if you don't know Jesus, why would you spend thousands upon dollars to say I do to somebody and say I want to live with you the rest of our life? Where the world says, you know something? Why go through all that? Why don't we just shack up, have kids, and enjoy life? That's the world's thinking. And then what happens, they go, well, I'm tired of him, I'm tired of her, let's just go our own ways. And then they don't have to pay for court to get divorced. But in the church, we're supposed to be different. And marriage is not a piece of paper by the government. Marriage is in front of God, in front of people, and dedicated to God. That's what marriage is. Because I know people who have pieces of paper, they're living together, but they're not married. They're just sleeping in the same house, not even in the same bed or bedroom. And it's sad because they lost something along the way. See, marriage is supposed to be fun. Marriage is challenging. And even Paul says that there will be issues in marriage, but guess what? When you have issues in marriage, it gives you an opportunity to understand your spouse. You can either take it as an opportunity to understand your spouse, to understand yourself, or get bent out of shape and be selfish. If you want to show how selfish you are, get married and have babies. Because you'll show you how selfish you are. Because you get something Let you know, everybody wants some of it. Everybody wants to use it around the house. And that's not a bad thing. But sometimes you're like, but the thing about it, look, people have asked me in the last couple months, how are you doing? I go, I've had opportunities to grow in Christ. In other words, there's been challenges. And if we look at challenges as I'm going to be defeated, Paul's saying here, he goes, don't look at them as you're going to be defeated. Look at opportunities to grow and have opportunities God grow through you and in you. So the thing about it, here Paul's just talking about, he's just saying, if you have a wife, don't seek to end it. If you don't have a wife, don't seek to get married. But if you do get married, it's not a sin. And so he says, marriage is not a bad thing. All these different things about marriage. Most of you have been married longer than we have. Most of you have kids older than us. Some of you have kids younger than us. Some of you have gone through things, through stuff I don't understand. But one thing I do understand, that in marriage you have somebody there to help you through it. Or you should have somebody there to help you through it. And Paul continues to write here about being unmarried, about making pleasing God. And then, so that's about it. What he's saying here. He's wrapping it up. And then he goes, verse 39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. And also, the husband is bound to the wife as long as she lives. She is free to marry anyone who she wishes, but only if he loves the Lord. I believe that is for anybody who's single. Only desire those who love and fear God. Be careful, because the devil will bring in people into your life if you're single. Those who do not love Jesus and have no fear of God. They'll say, oh, when I was a youth pastor, youth people would say, I just want a missionary date. Where they'll go date somebody who doesn't know Jesus and say, I want to date them and I want to bring them to know Jesus. That never, well, I can't say never, very rarely does that ever work. Usually, the person gets pulled down to that person's level. Very seldom can you pull somebody up to the level you are. Most of the time, when you're trying to help somebody up, what happens? They're on the floor. You're trying to pull them up, they sometimes pull you down with them. So when you start dating or you start liking somebody who's not God-fearing, God-loving person, and I believe being spirit-filled, you should find somebody who else is spirit-filled because you want to be equally yoked with that person. And so the thing about it, when you're spiritually yoked up with that person, you can pray through things together. As a spirit-filled person, if you start dating somebody who's not spirit-filled, more than likely, they'll start persuading you that being spirit-filled is not that important. I'm telling you right now, without being spirit-filled, with the Holy Spirit living inside of you and being active in your life, I believe that everyone who's been born again into the kingdom of God has the Spirit living inside of them. Okay, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, now there's evidence, not just speaking in tongues, even though that's one of them, but you have evidence of the Holy Spirit working through you, through the fruit of the Spirit, through the gifts of the Spirit, through the power, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That we should be looking for somebody who's walking in the Spirit and desiring to be more like Jesus. I was talking to a gentleman up at camp. He's probably 20, 21 years old. And he goes, last year you prayed for me at camp. He's now a counselor type person. He goes, I just broke up with my girlfriend for a couple months ago. And you prayed for me. And you didn't know I just broke up with this girl. And you said, find somebody who's pretty. Because it's a good thing to be attracted to the one you're married to. That's a good thing. Because if you're not attracted to them, it's going to be a little bit tougher in life. But if you're attracted to them, I'm not saying that's everything. But it should be some attraction and some bells and whistles going off. Because it makes marriage a lot more fun. Want me to keep going, Aurora?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll get back to my story now. And so he goes, one reason why I broke up with this young lady, because I didn't think she was pretty. Because he wasn't really attracted to her. He goes, we only went out because I thought we had to go out. He goes, I like her. She's a nice young lady. And so this year I'm talking to him, and he goes, I go, so what are you looking in a spouse? And so, you know, he goes, I want her to be attractive. I'm like, good, sure. That's a good thing. And then he starts listening. He goes, but bonus, I want her to be anointed. I'm like, why does that have to be a bonus? Shouldn't that be a part of your what you're looking for? If you're in the ministry like he is, somebody who's anointed by God will come along and be a benefit to him. Because if she's not anointed by God, she's going to drag him back. Just like David coming in, he was anointed by God. He's in his skippies. He's laying down the animals, slaying the animals every 6 feet. He's just worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And back in the home where that he has built is Saul's daughter, his wife, looking and despising what God is doing. If she was anointed by God, she would have been out there with him, worshiping God like he was. And so the thing about it, when you're looking for a spouse, look for somebody who loves and fears God as much as you do. And pray in the Spirit to make sure it's the right one. And be careful who you hang out with, because the people you hang out with is the ones you fall in love with. The way I fell in love with my wife was by hanging out with her. If I never hung out with her, I never fell in love with her. Makes sense, right? Jeannie and Gary are almost ready to celebrate with their 55th anniversary. 60. 60.
Yeah, next year.
Okay, so 59 this year.
Yep. 60.
And the only way they made it that far is because they keep hanging out with each other. What happens is people get married and they don't hang out with each other anymore. And it's so funny because people say, well, they're newlyweds, they're still hooked by the hip. I want to be hooked by the hip all my marriage life. I want to be like a newlywed all my life. I want people to say, wow, they're still in love. I don't want to grow out of love. I want to stay in love. Even when it's difficult and hard. And so when you're looking for a spouse, make sure you hang out with the right people who has the right passions as you do. Because not everybody in the church has passion for Jesus. They just show up, put their time in, and they leave, like I do with my job. I show up, I put my time in, and I leave. I don't want responsibilities there. I really don't. Tell me what to do. I'll go do it for 6 hours, and I'll be gladly to be done. If I need to go grab carts, call my name over loudspeaker. I'll go get carts. If you need me to go sweep up the parking lot, let me go sweep up the park. I'm fine with that. And that's the way some people treat the church, that we just come in, don't give me any responsibilities, and I'll just leave. Then many of you will come in and say, Pastor, how can I help you? What needs to be done? What about this? What about that? That you're connected. And so in verse 40 goes, but in my opinion, I love that. Paul says, but in my opinion, it would be better for her to stay single. I think I'm giving you counsel from God's Spirit when I say this. Many of you who have been, who have lost spouses or divorced or whatever, you're like, I don't want to get married again. That's fine. Still, be like Annas. What's her name in the temple when Jesus was born? What's her name? Huh? Anna. She was a widow. She was married for about 5 years. Then she became a widow. She didn't get remarried. She spent the rest of her time in the temple worshiping God. Our job. Anybody. See, a lot of times people lose their spouse, they get older, and then they're like, now what? Spend time with Jesus. Praying for those who are married, those who are young, those who have young kids. Pray for them. Pray for Cletus' kids as they're having another baby. Pray for them. As Faith and Isaac having their baby. Pray for them. Because many of you probably remember having two small kids running around underfoot. They never experienced that. But pray for them. Cletus is having another baby?
Oh, okay.
Faith and Isaac have another baby. And so they're just got used to one. Now they're going to have two. In the future, that is. Pray for those who are young in the church that they find the right mate. If God chooses them to get married. I keep telling my daughter, I'm looking for a guy for you. She goes, not without my help, Dad. But I've had her for 20 years. I'm not going to let any guy come in and take her. I'm going to be very picky. I do have BB guns. And throwing knives. Bow and arrow.
Those are mine.
Well, I can still use them. Bow and arrows. And so we have weapons. We don't have a dog, which I'm fine with. But the thing about it, pray for those who are younger than you. You've already walked through what they're walking through. Pray for us as we're starting to get in a new life situations. As Aurora's becoming more independent, doing her things and doing what God asked her to do, and doing more ministry stuff, not just here, but other places. And Jaron, as he starts to drive and grow, and you guys remember when he was like this tall,
yeah,
with a squeaky little voice. Now he's a handsome, rugged young man. How awesome is God? Pray for us as we navigate raising young, not kids, young adults for the kingdom of God. And our life is totally vastly different than it was 10 years ago. Even the last 2 weeks, it's changed radically. But if you want an answer that you've been praying for, the best way is to be at the feet of Jesus. Just stay at the feet of Jesus. And guess what? He will give you the answer while you're seeking Him. We sing a song. Well, I sought the Lord. He heard me and He answered. While you seek Him, He already has the answer. All right, I think I'm done. Let's pray. And then we'll have one last song. Father.